I assume you've agreed to come on today to announce that the great city of Seattle is going to be the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League.
Great of you to do it on our show.
We appreciate it very much. So take the microphone.
Guys, you're engaging in fake news. I have nothing to say on the subject.
Well,
I mean, we're not in an expansion process. We're not about to go into an expansion process. They seem to be wanting to build a building there. We'll see. But there is interest, I can confirm, but nothing beyond that.
I was going to say, I think it was 26 years ago, I was at an NHL Board of Governors. This was actually even before you were around, Gary. This was 26 some years ago, and I was at, and Seattle was one of the applicants for an expansion. This has gone on and on and on and on for years, and you've always been one to sort of say, well, you know, there's something to talk about, there's nothing to talk about. I guess my question is there at least something you think that may be to talk about Seattle?
What's going on is they went through an RFP process on renovating and redoing Key Arena.
Yep.
And they awarded the right to proceed to the Oakview Group, which includes David Bonderman. And they're now, I think, negotiating with the city. And in the middle of all this, I think the mayor's resigned in Seattle.
Yes.
And so I assume they're going to continue to try to proceed to get the rights to do what they want to do to Key Arena, but that isn't done yet. I assume they're hoping to get it done. Mr. Bonderman has expressed interest over the years in having an NHL team, and I assume he continues to be interested. But other than the soft talk that we're engaging in, there's mm-hmm. nothing new to report.
What does Seattle or any other city have to do? I know there's a pro forma that you have to reach, yeah. but does the building have to be built? Or is a commitment to build the building good enough? I mean, where do you stand on that?
There needs to be a realistic sense isn't the right word. You need to believe that a building is going to come out of the ground, and if not, bad things will happen. But again, this is really jumping ahead because we would have to be in a place where we say, okay, we want to commit to a franchise in Seattle, and here's what has to happen, and here are the terms of engagement, and we're nowhere near that yet.
Sure. It's obviously, and we'd all acknowledge this, just a terrible, terrible time in Las Vegas right now. And our hearts go out to all the people involved in there.
Actually, my understanding is a Los Angeles Kings employee was one of the victims.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeez.
And so, I mean, horrible is beyond the word. I mean, it's horrible and it's incomprehensible at the same time.
But Las Vegas, the Golden Knights are going to start their season and get off, and there seems to have, they've generated a lot of excitement. Can you compare in your own mind the way in which here in 2017 an expansion team is set up and ready to go versus X number of years ago when you were a young commissioner and you had teams coming in, and I think you'd agree a very different level of preparedness?
Yes. Well, when I was a young commissioner, you both were young journalists, so we were all
young together.
We were all in kindergarten together. The world, the focus, all has gotten more intense. And so it wasn't enough to simply say, I want a team, let's go, and then you worked your way through it. The Vegas Golden Knights have been at this now for 2 or 3 years between the process of trying to get a franchise and then having been awarded one. They've gone out and hired a state-of-the-art organization. They've got many, many, many employees. They've built a practice facility. They have media arrangements. They have social media arrangements. They have had a very sophisticated season ticket drive, and they spent a long time scouting and preparing for a draft. I mean, the business of playing the game has gotten much more complicated, much more intense, and they've had to prepare themselves for it. And I think Bill Foley has assembled a first-rate organization, hired lots and lots of people, and they're up to the challenge. But everything gets so much more scrutiny, and just being in sports now, both on the sports side, the hockey side, and the business side, has gotten more and more complicated.
Mm. Just before we move off the expansion concept, Quebec City was one of the applicants, along with Las Vegas. You guys decided not to give Quebec City a franchise. What's your message, or how did you leave it with them, and where are they as far as a future team?
We wanted them to view themselves as deferred as opposed to rejected. The board wasn't prepared, and it was a board decision not to do more than one team at this point in time, especially because we wanted to give the expansion team a deeper draft than we've ever done. And I don't think teams would have been prepared to lose two players at that level. The Canadian dollar was an issue, although it's rebounded a little bit since then. We didn't get to it, and I'm not even sure how I deal with it now. But, you know, since we were only going to do one team, putting another team in the East at this point in time wasn't feasible. So, and we've been in touch, I don't want to make any promises, but they weren't rejected. They were deferred, and we know they want a team. And it's a long life in a small world, and it's something that at the appropriate time, perhaps we'll get an opportunity to focus on.
One more thing on Vegas before we go, and it's a small sure. thing, but I'm interested in what your reaction is. One of the things that Vegas has gotten credit for is their team Twitter feed and the humor that they have shown and their willingness to have fun with it and interact. Do you believe that kind of stuff is valuable and generates significant interest?
The answer is humor to a point. And sometimes when you're trying to be funny, you go over the line.
Of course.
And maybe at a time or two, they could have been guilty of that. but what we find on social media is interesting. The things that tend to resonate on video, for example, aren't strict highlights. It's funny moments, it's humorous moments, it's human moments. Whether it was the dog dropping the puck at the face-off, or the expression on a little child's face when a player flipped him the puck, or other puck, I forget which it was, that tends to engender the most interest, because that's in addition to what takes place on the ice. And people like now more than ever to be better connected and to see a broader picture, and social media gives you an opportunity to do that. I think it humanizes things more than just strictly playing the games.
You had a couple of preseason games in China last week. Bob and I spent a lot of time chattering about the NHL and international, and before Bob gets on a soapbox and tells you what he thinks about it, I want to know, is there a plan here for to do more in China?
Well, actually, yes, but I'm fascinated. What does he think about it?
Bob thinks you need to open an office.
By the way, ultimately we do, but you do it one step at a time. We go to China, you do anything in China at the invitation of the government, and we were happy to have it. You have to work through the processes there. You have to start with modest goals and expectations and build from there. Even in terms of, even if you're chartering a team in, you have to go to the airport that they tell you to go to, even if it's not the most convenient. So the rules of engagement are a little different, but what's good is, when I was there in the spring, I met with the Minister of Sport, and we've had lots of meetings at all different levels, both commercially and with the government. There's great interest. It's a priority of China to get 300 million more people involved in winter sports, principally hockey. And that's a big number, even though it's only a fraction of the population. And so you start modestly, a couple of preseason games. The crowds were enthusiastic. What we've learned from the experience of other sports is you do start modestly when you're there, and it builds over time because they want to see a long-term commitment. And so ultimately we're going to take that effort namely preseason games. Maybe that morphs into regular season games. We put on clinics. We're working with the schools to do some phys ed with respect to the rules of the game and physical fitness and all that. And so you build it a step at a time. What it isn't is walking into a room and throwing on the light switch, turning on the lights and saying, we're here, everybody come assemble. It doesn't work like that. You've got to take a more granular, holistic approach. And that's what we did. But the enthusiasm in the buildings was great. And we were excited to have the opportunity to bring the Kings and the Canucks there. And we're glad we did it.
For the purpose of clarity, though, are you saying that at least at some point in time you see the possibility of opening an NHL office there?
Well, an office to service the business that we're doing. I'm not
mentioning
putting teams there, but if,
No. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, if you're doing enough business and you're putting on enough events on a regular basis, you're going to have a more permanent presence. That will be a factor of life. I don't envision that happening this year, but as things roll out. Now, ultimately, you know, we're on television in 140 countries, media outlets as well, streaming. We have worldwide advertising and sponsor deals and licensing deals. But you have to have events to grow internationally. And the good news is, whether it was the World Cup or these games, we worked cooperatively with the Players Association, which we have to do to put on these types of international events. And hopefully that cooperation will continue, because you can't have an international strategy unless you have events.
Do you have a commitment, long-term commitment, for games to be played there? Whether they be exhibition games or whatever?
We have a long-term commitment on the commercial front. The Players Association and we have to agree that this is something we both want to do, and I'm hoping the Players Association does.
Do you expect that to happen?
I would never be presumptuous as it relates to the Players Association, but obviously we're having ongoing discussions about it, and we have to debrief over what we thought was good about the games and what maybe we could do better, particularly as it relates to making sure that the players enjoy the experience. And from my end, you know, and I think it's clear that particularly the visit to the Great Wall and some of the other things made it an enjoyable experience in the preseason.
No NHLers at the Winter Olympics next year, as we all know. We've talked about this many times, and what the future holds for that, we'll see. Have you got a World Cup? Are we going to see a World Cup? Do we have a year? Do we have a date when this is going to happen?
We don't have a year and a date. Ideally, we would do it every 4 years, but we have to talk about that because we each have a reopener that would be triggered for 2020, and we did this in 2004, 2005, and you can't be in collective bargaining and doing a World Cup. That doesn't work so well. So either we both have to conclude that it doesn't make sense to exercise the reopener so we can plan a World Cup, or it's not a showstopper because I want to do another World Cup. We just have to move the dates around, and that's something we're discussing as well.
Would you say the last World Cup was a roaring success, a mixed success, and do you think that when you have another one, it will be different than that one?
Well, we think it was a huge success by any measure. The attendance was great. You know, the lesser games were all sold out, even if they weren't filled, but the same thing happens when you go to a World Championship or an Olympics. Our attendance in terms of percent of capacity was as good as any Olympic game series I've been to, or any World Championships that I observed. Commercially, the sponsors were happy. The broadcasters were happy, both in North America and throughout the rest of the world. The fan village was huge and hugely attended. So we were, for an event that we hadn't done in a very long time, I don't think it could have come off any stronger, couldn't have been any better received. But again, you know, whether or not we do another one in North America, whether it's one city or multiple cities, that's something that we have to discuss. But we got to figure out when we're going to do it before we get to figuring out the answers to those issues.
Last one before we let you go. NBC sure. has announced they will not show NHL games during the Olympics. This isn't particularly surprising. given that their coverage of the Olympics would consume time blocks where they would otherwise show other programming, and that would include, at least on some other channels, NHL games. But how do you view that? Do you view that as a slight? Is this an obvious thing? Where are you at on that, Gary?
I actually have two views on that. I understand that their priority for that 7-day period is the Olympics. I don't think they've made any announcements. It's like, I don't think I know I saw the report that said there was this meeting where they told us they made an announcement. That meeting never took place. My hope and my belief is, as we continue the dialogue that we have on a regular basis with our good partners at NBC, that at some point they may want to focus on this and say, you know what, there may be some time opportunities that we can have NHL games during that period, and maybe we'll do that. So I'm not, the story that was written just wasn't true. We don't have any commitments yet for them to do any broadcasting, but I think I remain optimistic that perhaps, you know, conversation, communication, or persuasion may take us to a different place, although there is no commitment there yet. But again, they didn't make an announcement that they weren't doing it, so hope springs eternal.
Bob said that was the last question. He lied. I have one more.
But for you, Damien, only. Bob's done, but I'll take one from you.
I appreciate that, Gary. Thank you so much. A couple of NHL players have suggested that they would possibly take a knee in NFL style at some point during a national anthem and an NHL game to join in that protest. Would they face league discipline if they do so?
Well, the answer to that is they could, but that's not how we're proceeding. I believe and respect our players. I think overwhelmingly our players understand that our fans come to the games because they want to enjoy the games, not attend a political forum. I think our games should represent an opportunity for people to come together. But I also respect individual choice when it comes to politics and social issues. So my belief is that our players will support the causes that they believe in, and hopefully they'll do that on their own time. And, you know, we're in a little bit different situation because we have players from all over the, you know, we have players from, what, I don't know, 20 countries. Everybody's going to have an issue about something, and I think that our teams tend to be more focused, and I'm talking about the players, on being a cohesive team and going out and trying to win and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup. So we haven't seen it, and my hope is while players will do what they think is right, I think the focus hopefully will stay in the right place.
Since you cut me off, I will ask no more, and we'll simply...
No, you cut yourself off. I would never cut you off.
Bettman, you just said...
You'll
take Damien's question, but you won't take mine.
We're doing so well. The beginning of the season.
No. You want to ask me another question, Bob? Go ahead.
No, I got nothing else.
Oh, there you go.
Thanks anyway.
Good talking to you.
Thank you, Gary. We'll talk to you again soon. We appreciate it.